radio check.
Since you're looking for a radio check, you sound fine. WA4HNT. You sound very good, in fact.
Very much. I appreciate this, KD4SRR. I'm doing it on 10 watts all the way in Lower Lawrence County.
I think I heard you yesterday, did I not?
During the net or earlier in the day?
Golly, Bum, I think it was earlier during the day. You were, I think, messing around with the power levels. You were using a handy-talkie?
Went on earlier, putting out a total of 8.3 watts. Can you imagine?
Like the 1 and the 3 watts we used to know way back in the day when they weighed about half a pound and looked more like a brick than they did a radio. That was a long time ago. Remember when, you're probably too young to remember this, but when we used to have those little Regency radios or whatnot, and you had to send off and buy the crystals for whatever repeaters or simple frequencies you wanted to operate. You had to go get your crystals, and they'd come in 2 or 3 weeks later, and you'd plug them into the slot and get your radio up and going. Remember those days?
You do, because we had them in the radios at the university in the trucks. And that's the reason we had pretty much 1 or 2 frequencies.
He had them in, like in 2 meters. I used to work for WFBC 1,000 years ago, and I was there the day up on the mountain, the day that these guys came swaying in with this radio equipment, and they were installing 0161 at that time.
Now, your voice sounds familiar when you said WFBC, so, I remember that call sign very much so, watching it mostly when we went to our grandmother's house in Marion, North Carolina.
Affirmative, WFBC, been here since 1953, I believe. They turned off a radio station in Greenville in order to either finance or emphasize another frequency. They had a station named WMRC. We make Royal Crown. WMRC, and they signed it off, and in some way or another had some influence on FBC going on the air. I think that was probably on the television side. And later on, some of the people wanted to put MRC back on the air, and they could not get the call sign, so they at that point went, which stayed in Greenville for 1,000 years.
Remember that one. And WMRC was a year before my time. I'm turning 70 this year, so I remember a lot of stuff. And we had a rotator on the chimney of the grandmother's house in Marion on a hill, and we got WLOS 7, SPA, and WJBF.
Frequencies there, the three networks, ABC, NBC, CBS. There was also Channel 40 down in Anderson, if you recall that one. It's UHF channel, obviously, it was on Channel 40. And it was on the backside of Anderson University, what today is Anderson University. Back then it was Anderson College, and Wilton Hall owned it. He owned WMRC. WCAC for Clemson Agricultural College, WAIM, where agriculture and industry meet, and WAIM Television, Channel 40. So he had his AM, FM, and his TV stick, and the TV stick was part-time CBS and part-time ABC. But this is before the popularity of UHF radio, television. And that goes way back there. And, of course, everything's changed today. It's completely different. And if you knew, WFBC stood for not where Furman beats Clemson. That everybody wanted to jab people with that one. But it stood for the First Baptist Church of Chattanooga, Tennessee. The first general manager of WFBC was the preacher at that church.
Now, see, I remember when WIS came on the air. Well, I don't remember, but I remember their call signs stood for Wonderful Iodine State, which never really caught on that much. And then you had, of course, WBT, which was Watch Buick Travel. And of course, Wonderful Western North Carolina. I'm trying to think of another station that I remember the call signs. But, you know, we actually, well, my grandparents, they had an old Zenith television, and they did not have the UHF piggyback tuner that you loaded, set on the top and plugged in separately. And I don't know that if they ever, they had that antenna and the rotator, I don't know that they ever ran another ladder line up the, or had it run up there to even get UHF. But that's fascinating. Of course, we remember all the way back in the days with WLO when it was WCOS. TV was at 25 then, and then I was just a little fella when, was I alive when it was WNOK TV, now WLTX. But anyway, interesting stuff. Well, I'm glad I'm coming in good today. I don't have a good SWR meter. Of course, I just got a J-pole up. That's all. So, yeah, I mean, if you put it back up, I had to repair the connector, so if I put it exactly where it, the old one was, it should work, right?
I'm guessing from, I used to have an SWR meter, and somewhere along the way, it got separated, United Land stuff, and sometimes it doesn't come back. But I've been thinking about buying me a good SWR meter from one of the companies out there. I did buy a Linear a couple of weeks ago, and I have yet to see that thing come in on shipping. And I'm tired of opening the front door to look outside to see, you know, if something has happened. Now, you mentioned about when you were born. I was born in 52. And I'm coming up on my 72nd birthday now. And so, you know, and I guess I love this time of living, but I seem to be more busy than I really choose to be. I would have never thought that being away from work would mean that you work more, but it does. Talking about call letters and numbers, call letters and meanings, WESC, you know that one. We entertain South Carolina.
New one on me. I appreciate you bringing that up. But you were talking about SWR meters. I've got a legacy Lafayette meter. Now, it was mostly, you could tell it was a CB meter or at least an HF meter, but it did list 150 megahertz, and it would go up to that. But, you know, it's not good up there. It's just crazy. There's no way I'm running a 20-to-1 SWR. I mean, my radio would have exploded when I keyed down the first time. I tried it on another antenna that I had that I knew was good, even though it's just a mobile, and it read stupid too up there. So it's Lafayette. Well, we don't. They're long gone, but they did false advertising, maybe. But nah, you know, I just don't. A VNA is about the only cheap way to go or inexpensive way. Those mighty fine junks, MFJs, are just so expensive, and I don't trust them.
I mean, I've always thought that these things were just a little bit pricey when you wanted to get other stuff first. So, you know, I kind of let time go by and time go by. I think I'll look over at that company called DX Engineering. It's out of Ohio. I don't know much about them. I've never really dealt with them. And but I was thinking I'd look through their inventory to see what they had on SWRs. But I do want one. It'd be nice to have one for all frequencies. But I'd also like to have a good 2-meter beam. That's another thing that's on my mind. But I have a dipole that I had saved. I wanted to put it up on some property we own in Florida. And that's something I'd like to get put up. But, you know, there's always something you want to buy a little bit more than something you won't use every day.
Like this. I don't need 10 7/16-inch wrenches. And I don't even use them every day. Although 7/16 is probably, I would use it more than a half-inch wrench. But I can get one from Harbor Freight that will last me for what I do. I don't have to go run down the Snap-on guy and set up a payment plan to buy one.
Snap-o, you know, I haven't seen any of their trucks around in a while. I lived in the country for a million years up on some of my parents' land. They had a farm up on the Seneca River. And so I kind of, you know, claimed it 1,000 years ago, and they pretty much let it go just as if it were mine. We had special plans. If they got a bill on it, like taxes or insurance, show me the bill tomorrow, I'll bring you cash money. And that kept my mother from ever wanting to sell any of the property. She was really one of these penny-pinching people that watched everything. And so she had wanted to sell some of the property one time to give her a little budget to work with taxes from and such as that. And I was adamantly opposed in it. I just don't believe in selling land. And so I just made a deal with my parents, and I lived under it for near 28 years, I guess. And that was, you show me the bill, I'll bring you the cash the next day. Won't be a check. I'll bring you cash. You deposit it, write your check out, and then pay your own bill. Well, I did sell that farm, oh, goodness, a few years back. Yeah, you know, everyone wanted it, but and I didn't want to work the rest of my life as hard as it took me to work to keep that many acres up by myself. And the fences were getting, you know, in kind of bad shape. And I knew that they wouldn't pay me to put money into. I mean, I'd never get my money back out of them. And I'm not an equestrian type person. If it's not got horns on it, short horn cattle, something like that, I couldn't give you two hoots for a horse. Now, my brother and my daddy were different. And there was another farm that my parents had on the other side of Pendleton, where I was on the Seneca River. The other one was kept the horses, finally.
Horses have got to be about the most expensive thing you can have. I don't see how, you know, a little girl wants a pony and doesn't realize, you know, it's what an expense it is just to beat the vote mayor. By the way, I was just looking at the nautical miles, or the actual miles from me to Caesar's Head Mountain, and it says 81.7, and I never thought it was that far, but now that I think about it, yeah, once you go through Marietta, I always think about getting to Traveler's Rest, and I think, well, Marietta's not that much further. And even though it's at elevation, this little Jake pole's doing all right. Then even better on 10 watts. It's about, I got it on a piece of PVC pipe with a couple of pipe clamps, and maybe 17 feet up. No, not even that. Well, maybe 17 feet at the tip. But the base is probably 13 feet high. I could go a little higher, but I stuck it up. I'm happy.
The name brand of the antenna that I'm running right now, 2 meters, 224, 40, and all that stuff. I forget the name brand of that thing. It's just an antenna in the air. You set it for SWR, and, you know, you go from there. Great little antenna. I've had no real problems with it that I know of. It's not very high off the ground. Someone that was doing some work for me heard me say how I wanted to erect certain things, and I looked around one afternoon, and he was out there doing it. I never asked anybody to do it. I didn't trust him to. It was too much money. And He had a ladder leaning against a telescoping mast, and he climbed up the telescoping mast to the top where the antenna was, and he was bending the telescoping mast so you could raise it or lower. He ruined a brand new mast one day. So I'm kind of adamant. I don't, you know, I like to do this work myself and not leave it up to other people to get involved with. But this antenna's been pretty great for me. I've got equipment around here. I haven't found the books on it. I don't know how to program it. And I really do need to find some of these things. I was going to look up some of the instructions on the internet on a Yaesu that's been looking at me in the face for a long time, a 7250, and I have never even turned the thing on. I had it maybe 3-4 years, and I've never turned it on.
It was a dual bander, right? And, oh, yeah, you mentioned 220. I got a friend of mine down here that's interested in taking a look at 220, and I told him, don't go in hot to do it, because you're not going to find anything down this way. He's closer to Columbia. Isn't there a 220 net up there where you are, somewhere around?
I believe there's one in Greenville. I've heard it. I've heard a 220 net. I think it's out of Greenville. I do. I think it's right out of Greenville. Now, you said 81 miles from Caesar's Head from Lawrence. That doesn't surprise me a whole lot. You know, it's a long haul up there from Clemson to Caesar's Head. Ah, Lord. Well, I mean, that's on the other side of Easley and all the way up to Pumpkin Town. And you got to drag up 276 to go to the top of the mountain, and then you can get to the transmitter site. You know, before you get toward North Carolina. But I'm not sure where I was headed with that thought. But, from my distance that I have always been from, or generally been from the repeater, I think it was probably maybe 60 miles. And there's some great coverage. Now, if you have not tried the... 147.35 or 146.35, one of the two frequencies, I believe. It's up on a mountain in Cashiers. That is one strong repeater.
But, you know, other than Mount Mitchell, that's the only one in North Carolina I even attempt to hit. But you say Cashiers. I'll look that one up. And there's one in Randleman I want to try again over toward Tennessee. I can receive it. It's 5110, maybe. But I wasn't able to hit it before. I didn't know this J-pole was broken. But it had actually broken, if you think of a copper J pole, you've got the socket, the PL259, or SO239 rather, actually brazed to the pipe. And then for the center connector, you've got usually just a piece of stiff wire, sort of to the short leg, to the 19 inch leg, going into the center connector of it. So the long pole is the ground, and the other one is the positive, I guess. Anyway, I didn't know it was broke for a long time. It had come loose. And wondered if burned my radio up. But that's all I had was about a 4-inch long stinger. And no wonder it was terrible. So until I got it put back together yesterday, and I did it with screws. I'm going to get some copper screws. I had some stainless steel screws. And that is a terrible way to do it, but that's how I got it to hold on to the mast. I just drilled some very tiny holes and put some sheet metal, stainless steel in there, and it's fine, from what I can tell, without an SWR meter.
I understand that. The antennas that I've... my 4060, I mean 80, that antenna... it's been destroyed again. I've been running dipoles because after I left the farm, pulled my antennas down, and took my wife camping for about 6 months, and when she finally petered out on that, I came down and opened up my mother's house because I needed to clean it out. Golly, bum, that is the most thankless, drudgery-filled job there is on earth. And we came down here to clean the house out, and I'm still here trying to get the house cleaned out and trying to get everything done that needs to be done. It seems to take forever. And then there's other property that needs to be tended to. Sometimes it's the other property that gets the attention first, and that just blows me away. But no, antennas, if you know, I would love to have them in a way that I could take them down and look at them, you know, and make sure that they are, you know, serviced well through the year. You know, just a way to inspect them. But they're awfully hard, and the older you get, the more you really don't want to do it. Like, I don't want to climb anymore. I don't want to get on the roof of a house. I just don't want to do it. I wish I felt better about it, but I just feel like, you know, it takes too long to heal. And so I don't want to get out there and get hurt. It would take forever for me to get over falling off a house. But, you know, like I said, I've been gathering stuff up to put up on a piece of property that my wife and I have down in Florida that we wanted to fix it up to go loaf, just to go play when it's cold up here, slip off down there, and just have a, you know, a little bit of fun. Not have to, you know, spend drudgery days up here. I mean, of course, they're getting as much rain down there, or have been over the winter, as we've been getting up here. And the rain's getting just a tad old, I think.
I'm looking for mold to set in, and then fleas, and then roaches, probably. But anyway, yeah, I know what you mean about the antenna. I mean, I'm looking at it this way. You know, if I'm getting 81.7 miles, albeit at elevation, and I can get about 50 miles, 60 miles toward, well, I get 82 miles toward Augusta or Trenton, South Carolina, goes into the CSRA, I don't get much past Union. I don't get to Rock Hill. I'd like to go further east, but I got trees and stuff. But, you know, I can get to this antenna and, in 30 seconds, and it's basically lashed to the garage with some, you're going to laugh, RG6 supports for the garage, and there it is. You know, it's on a piece of PVC pipe, which is up on a little tripod, and there it goes, and, you know, I can go a little higher. But I don't want to, and that's the same thing on a on the HF. I'm going to erect one of those pretty soon. I've got plenty of mast here I've collected over the years, and clean it up a little bit, maybe hit it with some rattle cans. But, you know, I'd like to get something up 30 feet, but go shoot stuff up in a tree and all that stuff. And I think part of my problem with HF is I don't have a good ballon. I need to get another ballon or make one. But it ain't my top priority.
I'm more Baldwin this time around. I've owned it about a year. Keep thinking I'm going to get down to Florida to install it. But I resisted installing it here in the upstate simply because, well, the one I put up here is homemade. But it worked beautifully for me. I've worked Tanisha, I've worked all over the place. I mean, I've actually had to learn more geography about some of the places I worked. But I have noticed that, I don't want to undo the new one. And it has a ballon, and I mean, brand new. It's a quality piece. I can't remember the company I sent off for it from, but it's a guy who also works to renew licenses when you're coming up for renewal. He'll charge you $10 to go renew your license or whatever. And, you know, hop on stuff like that early so you can watch it happen. But, yeah, I love these dipoles. They're cool. And you take a slingshot, a real good slingshot with a rod and reel or a reel on it mounted to the bottom of it, and you shoot a weight across a tree limb, and then you got a way to pull your line up. It works out real well. And so, and I just think it's a great way to hang a dipole. I'd like to do it a little bit better this time around, and I'd like to have a small tower. But that's all, you know, in time. Right now I've got to worry about getting a little bit more of the property pulled together. I got to get the septic tank put in now, which I didn't know I had to submit plans for a house to get that done. I did not know that. And then, of course, after the septic is approved and installed, they'll put in the electric. Then you can build your house. So we're trying to work on all those things. And, I sit back out here in this little shop, and I daydream about where I want to put this on that land and where I want to put that on that land, you know, antenna-wise and radio equipment-wise and such. So I'm excited about doing it. If I never get to it, to do it.
What you need to do is get you an uplink. I understand you can get a, what they call a buck. A bud was a download, and the buck was one of those little, I heard you can get those cheap now. When I say cheap, I mean a couple of $1,000s. You can go, they'll rent you a transponder pretty inexpensive. I don't know how you would advertise it. But then, of course, you can always stream, too, if you can get decent internet. I had somebody that wanted me to come down to WUSC FM and be an alumni DJ. Last time I did alumni was 1998. And I swore I'd never go back. Anyway, they're looking for alumni DJs because of 36,000 plus campus students, staff, and faculty can't keep their station running. But then they wanted to charge me for parking and a building key and all, and I went, oh man, I can go stream my own for less than the gas money you're gonna charge me. And I've seen some of these services like Vaughn. And the reason I'm getting off on this is I did consider, somebody actually offered me a radio station. Presbyterian was going to give me their radio station. And I went, who's going to listen to it? So, I also needed two partners, and I couldn't find, you can't glue two people together with super glue here in Lawrence County. But anywho, the only reason I get off on that, that's one of the things I often would like to get back into. But I just do it myself. Yeah, I could have had a 42-watt, low-power FM, and say, well, that's nothing. But then it's stream it. And there's ways to get, not get around, but to get the music unions paid for. And anyway, I don't know. I would just stream something. But I still think it would be pretty cool if I could uplink. I wouldn't be like Alex Jones, oh heck no, but you know what I mean. Have my own version of InfoWars, but not really. Anyway, yeah, those are things I always think about, and I don't have but a little tiny lot here. But one thing at a time, and as it shows interest, and that's one thing. I was a computer geek for decades, and I could give a hoot. And some people will say this is blasphemy. How about digital ham radio?
Yes, I know. Someone in my brother's family was complaining about me the other day. That's one of their pastimes. This particular niece was complaining about me. And my nephew, who's pretty cool, stood up. He said, you have to understand that Uncle A, they call me Uncle A, that Uncle A is an analog man. He has no interest in digital anything. That's the reason he uses a flip phone and such. And it was very funny. It really was. But I understand what you're saying about going digital with everything. I don't like digital TV. You know, as far as somebody that wanted to operate distant stations to get from here, say Atlanta or Charlotte. And I mean, it tickled your pink to get these different frequencies, WSB and such, out of Atlanta, coming in here on a Sunday morning. You sit back and watch a good signal from then. Well, that works well, but it doesn't work, here's my nephew. He heard me talking a moment ago about it. But it works well, but I forgot my train of thought. I'm so sorry. Look, I'm going to say 73. My nephew just wandered in here. He's got two pockets full of beer, so I suspect he's got something serious to talk about. So you have a good afternoon. I'll say 73 is after your final. I enjoyed talking to you.
I work for WFBC. I didn't even get your name. This is Robert down in Lower Lawrence County, also known as Joanna, a.k.a. the Wild Kingdom. So let me get your handle, if you don't mind. This is KD4SRR, and gosh, I never got your call sign. Well, I never remember anybody's call sign. I just hope they repeat it again. I go like, yeah, what he said. So come back. I appreciate it. And again, KD4SRR, Robert, I'll be clear on your final.
I didn't mean for you to give me your call sign. I was going to impress you that I could tell you what your call sign is. So, I'm Whiskey Alpha 4, Hotel November Tango, WA4HNT. I'm in the upstate up here near Pendleton, in Pendleton near Clemson. The name is Alton, Alpha Lima Tango Oscar November.
Appreciate it, man. And by the way, I use Pendleton as an example to rub neighboring Clinton's nose in it. Because if I'm not mistaken, unless something's changed, you can not only get ice cream on Sunday, every small town's got to have ice cream, but you can get moonshine, well, maybe not, but you can get ice cream at a German restaurant if it's still open. And it would fit in about three city blocks, as I remember. Maybe I'm cheating Pendleton a little bit there. But I said you get ice cream on Sunday, you know. So you got a reason to tell the kids that they're good all week. They get it treated on Sunday. I always remember ice cream on Sundays. It was not against the Bible or the Ten Commandments to have ice cream on Sunday. But here, they don't want to open up and serve anything on Sunday, whether it be ice cream or pie. So I always quote Pendleton as progressive and, historically progressive. I'll make that.
Pendleton is the fifth oldest town in South Carolina. It was bought in 1783 in order to form a seat of government in the upstate. They bought, I think, about 800 acres, and the three gentlemen that came up here were a fellow named Lynch and Colonel Anderson and Mr. General Pickens. Those were the guys that came from wherever our government was then, and came up here to buy some land. Well, in 1783, the folks that bought the land were a little skittish of the Indians, so they did not build Pendleton until 1790. But we're right here, contiguous to Clemson, though nobody in this town claims it, not too much at least. Clemson, of course, has the least amount of history of anybody I know in the history they cite. I don't agree with their telling of it. Clemson was at one time, before it was Fort Hill, it was named Clergy Hall, another plantation home that predated Calhoun and Fort Hill. So there's so much history up through here. But yeah, Sissy Parkers, Willie Hammonds, all those guys, they were good bootleggers. My brother was first one to ever take me to a bootlegger. And so that was on a Sunday afternoon. And so I'll never forget that. But all those things, again, do exist right here in Pendleton. And as long as we can keep them, we're doing good, because we ain't got no law up here. We've got a little bit of county that floats through periodically, and one or two shifts of Pendleton police officers, but they're here for 6-7 weeks in order to get the resume up, and then they're off to a better paying job. So things happen. I'm going to go. I'll talk to you directly. Oh, we'll talk in the future. Yeah, I was at FBC after I got finished up with the government. I came back, and they needed somebody with licenses and all, and so they put me up at Caesar's Head, and I had a great time. I mean, it was one of the best experiences of my life. I really did. I enjoyed it thoroughly and worked with all the people that you would recognize, and so, but that was back in the very early 70s, and then, of course, I went from there with QOK and on from there. So, anyway, I'll let you go. Have a good afternoon. WA4HNT will be clear.
This is KD4SRR. We'll be clear, and thanks again, 73.